Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Wonderful to see all of you here. My whole focus this week is I'm leaving in 2 days with nine other folks from this congregation, and we are going to Houston. We've been talking about this forever. You're probably tired of hearing about it, but it's happening. So we ask this week for your prayers as we leave on Tuesday morning. About 7:30 in the morning, and we will drive until there is no more world left to drive on, or until we get to Louisiana at least, whichever comes first. And then we'll be in Houston starting on Wednesday, and we'll be gone through Monday evening. We'll get back as soon as we can get back Monday evening, is the plan. Which means that I'll not be with you on Sunday. Next, you all are probably enjoying finally getting away from me this summer. You've been waiting for this, I know, for a long time. But Pastor Constance Garrett will be here. I know many of us know and appreciate Pastor Garrett, so I hope you'll be here next week. We'll also do the 4th of July cookout immediately after church next week. So I think hamburgers and hot dogs are covered, but bring a side to share, and if you got a lawn chair that you can manage. If not, we've obviously got the picnic tables, which you might have noticed, there's a new roof on the picnic shelter. If you haven't seen that, check it out. We're appreciative of the men for paying for that, and to Tim Everhart, and to James, I believe, and maybe some other scoundrels who helped put it up. I don't know who else was around, but definitely to Tim and to James. So that's all what's happening in the next week. The week after that, I'm taking six kids to Luther Rock, because we've got six Holly Grove kids in confirmation right now. So that's a great group of kids, too. It's a busy time for the youth, but it's a fun time. Keep us all in your prayers for both of these events. Want to give you an update on several Holly Grove folks who've been in the hospital this week. Greg Kepley had an appendix turn on him on, that was Thursday night, Gyla? Wednesday, and had his appendix out on Wednesday and came home then on Thursday or Friday, and is home recuperating, but still moving a little slowly, so we'll keep him in our prayers. Lib Dietrich has been in the hospital, I think it's been a week and a half now at Forsyth. She's dealing with a cancer that they're working on hitting with radiation, but she's just in a lot of pain and also a lot of nausea that's making things really difficult. And she asked me to ask you all for a double dose of prayers as she tries to make it through. I think she's been through 5 radiations or 6, and has another, she has to get to 10. And so hopefully at that point she'll be well enough to go home. We'll see. And then Jane Brown is also at Forsyth. Jane is really, really good at pushing through, but Jane is struggling, I think, right now. So keep Jane in your prayers as she's there. The pain got to be really difficult for her, and I think there's some other factors at play too. She said to me in her cheery manner, "We'll see if we can get this under control. In a few days, I'll go home." And I hope that's what happens. But I think it's a pretty difficult situation too for her. So that's what I know. Yes, ma'am.
Julia is back in the hospital.
Oh heavens. Okay, same breathing difficulties for Lydia, and she was just in the hospital a week, and I saw her this week, and now she's back. Okay, goodness. So Lydia York is another one we should keep in our prayers as she's in the hospital. So busy time. I'm going to try to connect with as many of those people as I can tomorrow. I told Neil, beyond that, once we leave, call me still if you need things, and I will consult as best I can from a bus or from a hotel room or from a convention center. There are folks, pastors in the area we can call on if need be, but you're welcome to still call me. If something really urgent comes up and you can't get me, you can try Neil, and I'll leave him with some contact information for some pastors in the area that will be in the area. I think that is all I need to draw your attention to. I did want to say, if you're going to the youth gathering and you're here today, we're gonna send you on our way at the end of the service. And after the service is over, immediately, if we can meet up here to talk for 5 minutes about some final things, make sure we're all on the same page. Probably stuff you've heard, but I need you to hear it again to make sure we're all on the same page. Yes, sir. It's over 700 from North Carolina, but I don't have the total number. We'll let you know on the flip side of that. I do know total registrations is also somewhere in the neighborhood of 31,000 from the ELCA. So this is a big deal. Yeah, this is not a small event. It's a big deal. It's usually the largest gathering of the North Carolina Synod when it happens. It's bigger than Synod Assembly. Usually. So that's likely to be the case again this year, but I don't have those final numbers. And then the other thing I'll mention is Cliff and April are here today, and we've not seen Cliff in a little while. Cliff is by necessity moved to Eden, North Carolina. So during the service today, we'll also do a sending for him, sort of a Godspeed. We'll see him from time to time when he can get down, but on a regular basis, he's not going to be able to be here every week, so we're going to send him with our blessing too. Other announcements? Please, yes.
With special thanks to all of you, to know you is to know people who are kind, considerate, and thoughtful. To know you is to be grateful for the special things you do, for everything you've done, for being the special people that you are. Thank you so much. We want to thank you so much for the beautiful prayer blankets. All of your thoughts and prayers are deeply appreciated. Harold and Judy Rose.
We wish happy birthday this week to Herb, Shane, Raya, Janine, and Rex. And happy anniversary to Clifton and Kim, Walt and Sue, Eddie and Tina, John and Billy, Paul and Carolina, and Max and Libby. It's a popular week to get married, right? Are there other folks we ought to add to that list? Let's pray for them. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll continue with our prelude. Thank you. We stand as we turn to page 94 and begin with confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I hereby declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Christ have mercy.
Let us pray. O God of creation, eternal majesty, you preside over land and sea, sunshine and storm. By your strength, pilot us. By your power, preserve us. By your wisdom, instruct us. And by your hand, protect us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me up front for the children's message. Good morning, everybody. Come on up here, have a seat on the steps. Okay, hopefully I brought a big enough boat today. We're going to hear a story today about Jesus and some of his disciples in a boat, and I thought maybe we should take a boat ride. Does that sound okay to you guys? Okay, we're going to need some water. If you guys will just lay this water out for me. Let's see what we can get here. I think we're going to be big enough that we're going to go two of these. And this one can come maybe. Yeah, that's good. Okay, now, if you're going to be in the water, you need either to be a really good swimmer, or if it's a long way in the water, you need a boat, right? So, I got a boat here for us. Okay, let's see. You think we're all going to fit in this boat? This is a story about Jesus and his disciples in the water on a boat. Will you guys be disciples for me? Okay, you're Jesus' disciples. Come get in this boat right here. Come sit in the boat. Can everybody sit down in the boat? Marcus, can you come sit in this boat? No, you don't want to? It's okay. All right. You know what? If some disciples need to stay where they are, that's okay. Okay. Those disciples can watch. Okay. So, all of Jesus' disciples are with him in the boat. Jesus has been in the boat, and you know what he was doing? He was using the boat as a place to stand, and he was preaching to the people on the shore. So see where the water ends right here? We're going to say these are all the people on the shore, and Jesus needed a place to stand. So Jesus was standing in the front of that boat, and he was talking to everybody. And then it got to be nighttime, and he said, you know what? We're going to go on to the other side, okay? So come on with me, disciples. But Jesus was really tired, so he laid down in the front of that boat, and you know what he did? He took a nap. He was sleeping in the front of the boat, and they were sailing him across to the other side. But while Jesus was asleep, something happened. A storm came. You guys ever been in a storm? What kind of things happen in storms?
Lightning.
Lightning, what else?
Thunder.
Thunder, yeah. Anything else? You hear anything else hitting your roof, maybe?
Rain.
Or maybe something that sounds like wind, yeah. And if you're on a boat when there's lightning and thunder and wind and rain, that might be kind of scary, right? You guys want to see what it might be like? All right, let's get some wind and some rain in here. Okay, here we go. Jesus is asleep, and all of a sudden there's wind and rain. And the water was moving, and it was loud, and they were afraid. And so they woke Jesus up, and Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And the rain and the wind and the thunder and the lightning and all the storms stopped, and it was calm. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah, Jesus just told it to stop, and it stopped. Thank you, guys. We're done with the wind and the rain. I appreciate it. It's amazing that Jesus has control over even the wind and the rain. Jesus, who is always with us, is always looking out for us. So if we get afraid about things, it's helpful, I think, it helps me to remember that whatever happens, we still have Jesus with us, and if Jesus is with us, we will be okay. So if you ever get afraid, if it's a storm or anything like that, you know, we want to do what we need to do to try to make ourselves safe, but if you still are afraid, remember that Jesus is with you, okay? And that's something that won't ever go away. Jesus will always love you, and Jesus will always be with you no matter what else happens. And for that, we can say, thanks be to God. Try that. Say, thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
One, two, three. Thanks be to God. Awesome. Will you guys pray with me? Lord God, thank you for being with us. Even when we're afraid. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. Okay, I believe we have Children's Church that's going to go over that way and line up at the door. If you want to go to Children's Church, you can, or you can stay with us always in church for the big folks and small folks, too.
The first reading from today is from the book of Job. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare me to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed bounds for it and set bars and doors, and said, thus far you shall come and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stopped. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, it is at an acceptable time I have listened to you. And on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as pure and making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. And I forgot the psalm, so let's go back and do that. The psalm for today is Psalm 107, and will be read responsively. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For he is his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those who redeem from trouble.
And gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some went down from the sea in ships, doing business on the mighty waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. Am I not right? For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their calamity. They reeled and staggered like drunkards, and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress. He made the storm be still. Then they were glad because they were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Mark, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Anybody been following the World Cup this year? A couple soccer players, not even you guys? Yeah, maybe a little bit? Okay. So the World Cup is the event that the whole world goes crazy for every 4 years, way bigger to most of the world than the Olympics, and of course a lot of Americans don't even realize it's happening, especially this year because the United States men's team had such a disappointing showing in the qualifiers that they didn't even make the real tournament. But I remember following along closely 4 years ago, back in 2014, Brazil, the longtime soccer powerhouse, was hosting the tournament, and the whole country of Brazil had such high hopes for their team. I mean, everybody wants to win always, right? But when it's on your home turf, right there where you can savor it, there's something special about it. And things looked really promising for Brazil's squad. They had a good team coming in. Expectations were high. As the tournament played out, those hometown fans' hopes got higher and higher as Brazil progressed through the opening games. They went 5 games without a loss, and then there they were in the semifinal. Only one team, Germany, stood between them and a hometown championship game. And by all appearances, this was going to be a great game. The sides were thought to be fairly evenly matched. Everyone was expecting a hard-fought back and forth. Nobody could tell beforehand who the winner would be. But then the whistle blew, and almost as soon as the game started, it was over. Germany scored at the 11-minute mark, then again at the 23-minute mark, again at 24 minutes, again at 26 minutes, again at 29 minutes. The game was only a third of the way through, and it was over. Germany went on to score 7 goals against the home squad, a number that's almost unheard of, and Brazil got nothing. They had 0 on the scoreboard until the very last minute of play, when really the Germans weren't even trying anymore. They were up 7-0. At that point, the Brazil squad eked out 1 score to avoid the added embarrassment of a shutout. And everybody was astonished because they had all expected this to be close, and it wasn't even a contest. It was over as soon as it had begun. We tend to think about the struggles of our world and our universe in pretty grand terms. You know, life and death, good and evil, the dark side and the light side, whatever you call it, locked in a perpetual conflict, right? And this can creep into how we think about our faith sometimes. God in this closely contested struggle against sin, death, and the power of the devil is maybe how we think about things. But all through the Gospel of Mark, we see something very different happening. Jesus doesn't have to struggle or fight against sin, death, or the devil. It's not a contest. It's not close. Jesus speaks, and every time it's over. Time and time again, we get unclean spirits who are overwhelmed by a word, serious illnesses cured by Jesus in an instant, physical disabilities made right immediately. And then we get the scene from our gospel lesson today. Jesus has been preaching to the crowds from a boat, talking a lot about the kingdom of God and what it's like. And then he directs his disciples, even though it's night and not the safest time, to go on and take him across the Sea of Galilee. And while he exhausted sleeps in the good cushion seat, a nasty storm blows up. Storms, of course, can be scary enough on land, but on the water, things can go from pleasant to terrifying so quickly. And remember, some of these disciples are fishermen, right? They know what they're doing. They know how to handle a boat out there. So this must have been a really serious storm, because by the time they wake up Jesus, by the time they get him up, they've already determined that they're going to die. That's what they've accepted. But Jesus gets up, tells the storm to knock it off, and just like that, it's a dead calm. Whoa. And now, as firmly as the disciples were fixated on their fear, they're fixated that firmly on a question. Who is this Jesus that even the wind and the sea obey him? And we know, right? Because we have the benefit of having heard the whole story. This Jesus is very God. He was there with the Father as the foundations of the earth were laid. He was there when the boundaries of the sea were laid out in the first place. This is Jesus, the incarnate Word, who was in the beginning, who was with God, and who was God. So having been part of calling forth all of creation into being from nothing, it's no wonder that when it comes to overcoming any force that defies him, when Jesus is involved, there's no contest. It's not even close. It's over before it really gets started. And that goes not just for storms and demons, but we see it most clearly on the cross and in the empty tomb. Even death does not stand a chance when God gets involved. And the good news for you and for me is that God is involved in your life, in the plight of the world. The whole point of the incarnation is Jesus coming to be with us, God getting involved in a personal and new way. Then in the waters of baptism, God claims us as sons and daughters, gets involved in our struggle again by calling us by name as individuals, promising us forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And every time we gather at this table, the incarnate God meets us again, gives us his very body and blood in bread and wine, so that we know you are not in this alone, so that we can take within us the very body and blood of the one who defeats the forces that defy God in a no-contest match that's over as soon as it begins. And look, I know that there is still so much sin and death visible in our world, and if we're honest, so much sin and death visible in us too, and that makes us afraid. afraid that help won't come soon enough, afraid that unpleasant things are coming for us. But faith in the face of fear is like courage. It's not about never being afraid, right? Courage and faith are about trust in God, even when there is real reason to be afraid. Paul alludes to this in that 2 Corinthians lesson we heard a moment ago. Paul had plenty of reasons to be afraid. For the sake of the gospel, he and his companions have been through afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. And maybe you can make it through some of those hardships, maybe Paul can, by sheer willpower. But the only way that we can faithfully sustain responses to these kinds of hardships that are faithful, day in and day out, year after year, the only way we can do that is through relationship. Relationship with the one who always wins in a no contest match. So we gather together in relationship with each other too, to remind each other, to pick up that refrain that gets repeated over and over in the Bible. Whenever God shows up and is revealed to people, they say the same thing, the thing that we need to tell each other: do not be afraid. Jesus, who reveals a God who cares for all people, Jesus is the one in whom you can place your trust. And we need each other to point back to that relationship, to that solid rock. Jesus, who throughout Mark's gospel is all about freeing people from all the things that would keep them from abundant life. Whether it's demon possession, disease, social exclusion, hunger, or even death, Jesus does not let any of that stand when he encounters it. And it's not even a contest. Jesus speaks, and like the storm, it's over immediately. In Jesus, we see that the God who made the cosmos will not let the power of sin, death, and the devil stand. There is some scary stuff out there. We don't have to pretend that that's not true. But God has got this. God always has, and God always will. Trust and do not be afraid. Peace. Be still. Amen.
Turn, O Father, strong to save.
Now let us confess what we believe by the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven.
Growing in faith and in discipleship, we give thanks for God's merciful compassion as we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Empowering God, you call your church to boldly proclaim your day of salvation. Bring unity to the faithful people and provide opportunities for collaboration as we bring your good news to the world. Let the youth of our churches hear your love for them as they gather in Houston this coming week. Watch over all who travel and open their eyes to the ways you are moving in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creating God, you call forth life from the swirling waters of chaos, and you pour out water that nourishes the earth. Send forth ample rain for crops to flourish. Speak peace wherever homes, towns, businesses, and lands are damaged by hurricanes, floods, and tropical storms. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of power, come to the aid of all nations and leaders who fear storms of conflict, violence, or injustice. Raise up advocates and peacemakers to speak truth and hope into the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Saving God, grant endurance and comfort to all who suffer affliction, hardship, hunger, violence, sleepless nights of pain or anxiety. Give your promise of healing to all who long for salvation. Especially we remember Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Harold, Barbara, Elizabeth, the family of Gary, Herbert, Lydia, Greg, Billy, Gracie, David, Scott, Jeff, Chuck, Brad, David, Judy, Angel and Alexandria, Daryl, Wayne, Eddie, Kathy, Philip, Chris, Chuck, Tommy, the family of Mike, the family of Tyler, Kathy, Joanne, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we lift to you these prayers and the prayers of our hearts, trusting in your everlasting love and mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated, and I'm going to invite Cliff and April to join me right here in the front. You don't have far to go. As we said, we're going to hopefully, as often as they're able, see Cliff and April, but not in a regular way anymore, and so we want to just send them on their way with our blessing. Cliff and April, as you leave our congregation, we wish to bid you farewell. A reading from Exodus. The Lord said, I'm going to send an angel in front of you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. When you came to this congregation, we rejoiced to welcome you into the mission we share as the people of God. In this community, you have come to know and to share in God's loving purpose for you and for all of creation. God has blessed you in this community, and God has blessed us through you. We encourage you to continue to receive and share God's gifts in Eden, united with us in the body of Christ and in the mission we share. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for Cliff and April and for the time we have shared with them. As they have been a blessing to us, so now send them forth to be a blessing to others. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Go in God's peace, and we'll see you when you're around. Cliff already told me they're going to come back next week for the cookout with us, so we'll see him soon. In the meantime, the peace of Christ be with all of you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Christ's peace. Christ's peace. No, you handled it great. You handled it well. There was a lot going on. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen.
We pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Invite you to be seated, and if the folks traveling to Houston will join us up front. Okay, so you guys each have a little prayer stole here. So grab these. I think everyone's chosen a color, except maybe Will, you might not have a color. So you can grab whatever color is not taken. These were made by some of our women who make prayer shawls. And last week had a chance for folks to put their hands on these and say a prayer blessing. Okay, I know who you all are, but I'm having a hard time. Okay, I think I'm going to do green to match my stole today. Oh, which one would you like, Will? Yellow. You can have the green if you want. Friends in Christ, today we give thanks to God and seek God's blessing as we send these young people and us adult leaders to Houston for the ELCA youth gathering. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe. You made the whole earth for your glory. All creation praises you. We lift our voices to join the songs of heaven and earth in thanksgiving for the many blessings you have given us. Renew in us the commitment to use our gifts in the service of others, and especially the service of those in need. As we travel and work, let us be your hands to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, comfort the weary and outcast, welcome the stranger, care for creation, and be loving neighbors to all people. If you guys will take your little prayer stoles out of the string and put them around your necks, this congregation has literally wrapped us in their support and their love. We got financial support from the men's group, the women's group, from the Cecil Youth Endowment, from many of the individuals sitting out here today. So as we go, they sort of go with us, and we become their representatives in this mission that we share. So even as we're wrapped sort of in these, they wrap us in their love and their blessings. Bless now, Lord, these of us who go out from here to labor in Houston. Prosper the work of our hands. Bless those who receive us and the fruits of our labor, and may those who are sent receive blessings in return. May the gifts that we use and share be signs of your love to all people. To you, O God, be glory and honor through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, in your church and in the world, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord look upon us with favor and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll say our mission statement together, which is the same mission we're going to Houston as part of. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. You guys can return to your seats, but immediately after the last hymn, meet me right here for just about 5 minutes, okay? We continue with our hymn, We Stand.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.